Very thankful to have everyone back this evening. My topic is perfect love, and it comes from the verses in 1 John 4, verses 17 through verse 21. There the Bible says, "Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, even so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath punishment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen cannot love God whom he hath not seen. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." So, the most important things in this line, John mentions in verse 7 of our text. We need to make sure that our confidence is based on biblical reasons, not on false hope. Many people believe that there is a hell, but only a few believe that there's a chance that they will go there. Since we are talking about eternity and the lake of fire, we need to be sure of where we stand. And John tells us how to have confidence in that coming day of judgment. From these verses, John is given his final instructions on the test of love. John shows that there are three tests of authentic Christianity: the moral test of obedience to God's commands, the social test of love for others, and the doctrinal test of believing the truth about Jesus Christ. This morning, in Brother Brian's lesson, in verses 7 through 11, John makes the point that we must love one another because God is love, and He showed it by sending His Son as a propitiation for our sins. And then in verse 12 through 16, John says that we can be assured that God abides in us, and we in Him, if in us we have love for one another and confession of the truth about Jesus Christ. John is saying, love that comes from God gives us confidence in the day of judgment and must be expressed in love for others, in obedience to God's commandments. Let us go to our Heavenly Father. Practicing the love of Christ gives us confidence in the day of judgment, according to verses 17 and 18 of the text. John makes four points here. First of all, there will be a day of judgment, and it is important that we have confidence as we face that day. From the beginning to the end, the Bible is very clear that there is coming a day of judgment. Jesus spoke about the judgment many times in the New Testament. In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, there He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." In Matthew 11, 21 through 24, there Jesus said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46, there the parable of the sheep and the goats. And according to verse 32 and verse 46, it says, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats." In Matthew 25 and 46, it says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." The Apostle Paul, when preaching to the philosophers at Athens, he declared in Acts 17 and verse 31 that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. When he talked with the Roman governor, Felix, in Acts 24 and verse 25, Paul discussed righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Death is common to the human race. Death is a judgment for our sins, but it's not the final judgment. Hebrews 9 and 27 declares, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." Hebrews goes on to describe in chapter 10 and verse 27, "As a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." And in Revelations chapter 20 and verse 14, it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." You can debate about whether or not the fire is literal or if it is figurative. But either way, you don't want to experience it for all eternity. You want to have biblical confidence as you face that certain day. The second point John makes is that one basis of confidence in the day of judgment is when we see God's love shown through us to others. John's emphasis here is on love being perfected in us. He first used the phrase in chapter 2 and verse 5, where he said, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." He used it again in chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." In verses 13 through verse 16, John explains the first part of that statement, repeating the concept of God's abiding love in us and we in him three times. Now, he repeats three times in our text, verse 17 and 18, the idea of perfect love. What does he mean when he says perfect love? The word perfect in Greek doesn't mean, as it does in English, to be without flaws or shortcomings. Instead, in the Greek, it means to reach its complete development or intended goal, or to be mature. A good reference is found in James 2 and verse 22. "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." James means that works complete faith or bring faith to its complete maturity. So when John talks about God's love being perfected in us, he means that his love has reached maturity in us as Christians. John is saying that when we see God's love flowing through us to others, in practicing good deeds, it is one basis for confidence in the day of judgment. He is saying the same thing as he said in chapter 3 and verse 14. There he said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. The presence of God's love in our life is not just in words, but it's also in deeds. And that was pointed out this morning by Brother Brian. This is also what John meant in chapter 4 and verse 12. There he says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected, or it has reached its maturity in us. This doesn't mean that you always love everyone perfectly, and that we love without any shortcomings. No one does that. Instead, it means that the direction of your life is growth in love, and that is God's love, which may be defined as self-sacrificing, caring, commitment that shows itself, as Brother Brown pointed out this morning, in seeking the highest good for the one that we love. The third point is that God's love through us to others gives us confidence in the day of judgment, but because it shows that we are like Jesus. John adds in the text of verse 17, because as he is, so also are we in the world. B.F. Westcott states, the ground of boldness is present likeness to Christ. The thought is that at the judgment day, God won't condemn people who are like his son. Living a life of active love of the brethren, it shows that we have the spirit of Jesus. It shows that we belong to the family of God, and that gives us confidence before God. And the fourth point, if we fear the day of judgment, it is evidence that we have not the love for others as God intended. Verse 18 of our text, John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfect in love. Everyone knows that we should fear God in the sense of regarding him and respecting and in reverence. There is a proper sense of fearing God as the judge. Speaking in the context of the final judgment, though, Jesus says in Luke 12, verse 4 and verse 5, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. But in our text, John means that you cannot draw near unto God in love and run from him out of fear of the judgment at the same time. Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This phrase, perfect love, it means love that has reached maturity, or love that is expressed in action. All of us, at one point in our life, should have experienced the fear of God's judgment. But as we grow in grace and godliness, that fear is replaced with God's love. Most unbelievers have neither the fear of God nor the love of God in their lives. I want you to think about that. If you're not a Christian, if you're a person of the world, you have no fear and you have no love for God. The lack of fear stems from their ignorance. Children are often unafraid of danger because they're unaware of the severity of the danger. Concerning people in their natural state, Paul says, Romans 3 and verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Unbelievers are a heartbeat away from eternity in the lake of fire, but they don't fear God. Then, when they come in contact with the gospel, it brings conviction of sin and the judgment to come. They become terrified of God's wrath and their guilt before Him. And at this point, it is fear without love. And God uses the gospel of Christ to drive them to the cross. For still trembling, they experience both fear and love. And then as they grow assured of His grace, and they see His love working itself out in their lives, they cast out fear and grow into love without fear. In the song that we sing, Amazing Grace, the second verse begins, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. John's point is that as God's love grows in our life, it casts out the fear of judgment that existed before. God's love in us is evidence of being born of God, and that evidence removes the fear of God's judgment. In verses 19 through 21, we learn that it's easy to get puffed up with pride or to fall into hypocrisy or excuses when it comes to the matter of loving others. Love that gives us confidence in the day of judgment comes from God and must be expressed in the love for others in obedience to God's commandment. Verse 19 through 21 of our text. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loved God loved his brother also. In these verses, John makes three points. First, love that gives us confidence in the day of judgment. This love comes from God. Verse 19 again, we love Him because He first loved us. One application of verse 19 is, if you are struggling to love someone, especially someone who has wronged you, you are to meditate on God's love as it was shown to those at the cross. At the cross, Jesus died for our sins. We didn't deserve it. What we deserved was God's wrath and judgment. But in spite of all of our sins, Jesus willingly suffered the penalty that we should have received ourselves. Now, He wants us to be the source of that kind of love to others. The second point John makes, love that gives us confidence in the day of judgment is confirmed by our love for one another. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Albert Barnes says, the context of the verse is that no man can have any true love for God unless he loves the brethren. The interpretation of the verse is not that he intentionally deceives, but that the sense is that this must be a false profession. If one who says he is a Christian does not love one who bears the divine image of Christ, whom he sees and knows, how can he love that God whose image he bears, whom he has not seen? 1 John 3 and verse 17, but whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? John is saying that genuine love for God will show itself in our love for one another. If we don't practice sacrificial, committed love for others, we are revealing that we really do not love God. Finally, love that gives us confidence in the day of judgment is God's commandment and not a request. Verse 21, and this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. The commandments to love God and to love others, the Bible calls them the two great commandments. He doesn't call them the two great requests. John reminds us that the commandments are from God. 1 John 3 and verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. The fact that love can be commanded shows that it's not just a feeling, but it's also an action. It's a caring, self-sacrificing commitment, and it shows itself in seeking the highest good for the brethren. Also, the fact that God commands us to love one another shows that it may not always be easy. Some may have been hurt in the past by those who profess to be Christians. John is not saying that loving them would be easy, but that it's not an option. God gave us this commandment, and he didn't attach a list of exceptions for difficult cases. In closing, the lesson today is to encourage us to work at loving those we live with and those in this church, that our love for God and the brethren mature as we strive to live a life according to God's will. The reward for obeying this commandment is that you will have confidence. That is perfect love before God in the day of judgment. Our primary source of confidence is that we have believed in Christ and that the blood he shed as the propitiation for our sins, it is only his blood and not our works that atones for sin. How do we know that our faith in Christ is genuine, since it is easy to be deceived? One evidence of genuine faith is shown by our love for one another. The more love for one another, the more we will have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. 1 John 2 and verse 28 as we close says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him in his coming. If there's anyone that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come as we stand and sing.